My Michelle Live, sports timeout. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yes, I am. I'm Michelle Mendoza. You're listening to My Michelle Live, where we take on issues of the day, whether it is science and technology, health, it can be news and views. We can review the weekend news. In fact, we'll talk entertainment, but when it gets really fun, we talk sports! It's time for us to sports it up, and I want to introduce you to the round table of sports talkers, as we have a lot of issues. Oh, man, football's in full swing, and I am so stoked. We'll be taking it on, but here are the guys. First of all, we have with us Pastor, Coach. He looking around. Yeah, no, that's you, Garrick. Garrick Payne.
Get ready to get...
Get ready to get pinged. We have with us the author of this book, Athlete in the Game of Life. It is an easy, good, and supportive read. You can feel your best because you know Matt Peel's got your back. What can we say about him? What a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy.
That's right. And then we have with us our sports authority. You find him on Twitter at Josh Reports Live, talking everything from microbrews to baseball. He is who we lovingly refer to as the Wookiee of the Year, Joshua.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
And I am Michelle Mendoza, your humble host. Glad to be
Don't
with you.
Don't stand too close. She may put out your eye with a gleam of her smile. Here's Michelle.
Guys, we are sportsing it up today. I am ever excited because NFL is in full swing. Did you guys catch the game last night?
I still don't have internet at home, so that's a big negativo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if you are new to Sports Timeout, yeah, New Orleans there. Down in NOLA, they're still pulling things together. You're not going to have home games for a while. Any update on that? I didn't follow it, Matt.
Just the one. Supposed to open up Sunday with the Packers at home, and then the schedule is two games on the road anyways. And then come back for the fifth, and they're saying we'll be all thumbs up, ready to go for that home game against the Giants. So in the end, it's just one home game that we will not be actually at home.
Look at this, and you have internet where you're at, so that's good. Electricity, internet, things are getting back to normal.
So I'm at the gym where I work, so that's where there's internet. I do have power at home, but who knows when internet will come back on.
Can you give us an update on some of the roads? I mean, how are Saints fans going to get to their first home game? I know you have a few weeks to go.
They're saying by that time, power will be up all over, not just in New Orleans itself, but all the regions will have majority of power. Roads will be cleared. Trees will be enough off the side of the road and different places for people to get to the games. The airport, of course, will be open. The Saints are a regional team. You know, there's no football teams in Alabama or Mississippi, you know, college, I mean, pro teams. So, you know, people do come in from out of state and from Texas. So the road should be open, power should be clear, and people can get flying.
Love to hear it. Well, the road was open to the NFL. Josh, did you catch the game last night where we saw the Bucs take on the Cowboys?
Well, is there football on? Was that what happened?
What?
Was that...
It was curling. It was week one of curling.
You missed
the opening.
Oh, no, I was watching the marble run.
Even better.
No, that was what a great start to the season.
What a game.
Dak Prescott, by the way, he looked really good coming back from injury. And, you know, he had that devastating injury. And it's one of those things that, like, you don't know if someone's going to be able to come back and be the same player at that point. But he came back and he looked really, really good. Tom Brady, I mean, he looked like Tom Brady out there. he was really good. He made a couple of mistakes, but it really, like, I mean, they did well. Antonio Brown looking good, although that is, I will always think Antonio Brown is just a ticking time bomb of when is that going to blow up in everyone's face? Because that man, he lost his marbles, so he's not on the marble run. But yeah, that was a great start to the season, a great game, very exciting, lots of plays. Vita Vea, by the way, the UW standout, I'm pretty sure he's just like a Volkswagen. Like, he's just like he's huge. You see that guy and he like just it like looks bigger and stronger than everyone else. He plays for the Bucks, obviously. He was awesome, and I love that they move him around, put him at fullback. I wish he was a Seahawk, man. I love that guy. He plays so hard. Although that there was a funny moment. There was one of the morning shows here in Seattle. They had interviewed him before, and they said, "What's your favorite thing to do on the field?" And there was a good like 7 seconds of silence, like play football. So he just likes to go out there and mash people. He doesn't want to have to think about what he likes. He just wants to go out there and destroy any living being in front of him, whether he's playing offense or defense. So
like
go be
Mongo
the Mongo
from Blazing Saddles. Yeah. What it sounds like.
Yes, exactly.
What a world we live in where you can make a pretty darn good living just destroying everything in front of you.
You know, see, life is good.
Wrong business.
Brady threw like 379 yards, 4 touchdowns. Prescott was like 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, very comparable. And I think one of the most exciting parts of the game was the last minute of the game. The Cowboys pull ahead. The Bucks, you know, in the final seconds and 3 throws out of bounds purposefully so that they could bring in their kicker. They beat the Cowboys 31-29. It was pretty exciting. That was some game. Brady and Gronk were pulling it off, and it was pretty amazing. Just a perfect start to NFL season, guys.
Yeah, it's exciting for it to be back and just kind of for it to feel a little bit like normal. We know that the world is not returning to normal and may never be normal the way
it's getting
we once
even
knew it,
less but. Normal. I know the Raiders were pretty excited for their Las Vegas opener because they're going to have fans. Remember a year ago, sports without fans, just awkward and weird. So it's nice to
boring.
Have. Boring, yeah.
It was boring to watch.
And yeah. You heard me talk about the canned fandom, how it sounded like a bad sitcom. It was just kind of like, really? Why? You know, it wasn't genuine. Josh, if you want to go see a game, you're going to have to mask up and you're going to have to be vaccinated. That's going to be really difficult as people, you know, they already have their season tickets if they aren't vaccinated. If you don't have both vaccinations, you don't get to go. Wow. Go ahead, Josh.
For Seahawks, it's actually vaccination or a negative test within the last.
Yeah, but you have to have it within 72 hours. I guess that's where I'm saying it's really difficult because where do you go to get your results?
Places like Amazon and Walmart, starting I think today or yesterday, are selling at-home test kits at cost. So you can get them in stores or online. Now.
Will those be accepted at the stadium? Do you know?
I've not seen anything to say they won't be.
Because I know there's a lot of venues where at-home tests will not be accepted. So,
yes, there
I mean,
other
these
ones,
are things
like if the Mariners make the playoffs, they will not. As
what
far as
happened to you,
so far,
Garrick? If you're looking, if
he
you're
is
listening.
Now a specter.
You are a specter. He's a specter. That was weird. Anyway, if you're just listening, you were spared that moment, and it's okay. pray for Garrick Payne. Yeah, the thing to me is testing is vital. If you have natural immunity, we are now seeing more and more big study I've talked about recently out of Israel that says your natural immunity is lasting longer and stronger than the vaccines. And there's a number of scientific reasons why. So we should be testing for immunity instead of worrying about if someone is vaccinated, because if they're vaccinated, great, you were vaccinated. That vaccination can last as little as 6 weeks. So we don't know if you're getting and spreadable based on vaccination alone. So if you are vaccinated, you should be taking tests.
I'm going to bring my positive COVID test. How's that? Because I had COVID back in December, which means that I have the immunities now, the natural immunities. I actually got tested recently and still have the antibodies. And so anyway, we digress. But
well,
but
no, we aren't really digressing, because this affects you. If you are if you're going to any games, this affects you. If
that
you
down here
if
too.
You
yeah,
if
we
you
were one
yeah,
of the first.
If you want to work, this affects you. New York Jets receiver Jamison Crowder is still recovering from COVID, and this is going to be a continued issue. And speaking of Cam, he was kind of spouting off a lot. I mean, he was all over the news. He may not be a Patriot anymore. He may have been ousted from that region, but he is dominating the sports world. Would have been a distraction. Wait, we need a sound effect for that. His aura would have been a distraction for the Patriots without being a starter. And Mac Jones, he would have been uncomfortable with him as his backup. What's that all about, Matt?
I think it's called ego.
Oh, ego. My aura. Yeah, guys, Josh, Garrick, Matt.
Well, you know, there may be some truth to that. I mean, it's... when you're a rookie coming to the league and you're, you know, you fought for your job, you won the job out of camp. But if you have a guy that's a former MVP sitting behind you on the bench, you're going to have a thought that if I mess up,
don't mess this up.
There's a guy waiting to take the job back away.
All right. I'm going to challenge that.
So I think there's
challenge. I want to issue a challenge. I want to issue a challenge.
Throw the red flag.
That's right, because I know you're a rookie, but this is next level sports. This is the highest level of sports. I think it's the exact opposite, man. You're going to have to step up your game. And if you're not ready to have that sitting on the bench and threatening you, then you're not ready for the big game. You know, that's what it's all about. I think it can make you better. And it should.
In preseason, clearly, I mean, he did step up his game, but I and there's two other things. One is I do agree with what Josh is saying, because you're always kind of looking over your shoulder in
good.
That respect. However, part of it has to do with how Cam is as well. I mean, is Cam going to be there supporting him, rooting for him, or is he going to be hoping that he screws up? And so,
well,
you know, to your point, Matt, in terms of ego, right?
Right. Right. I think
guys, this isn't something new though.
No, it's not.
That's happened every day in the NFL in sports. You are always going to be looking over your shoulder. You're always a couple of plays
away. You're not always
away.
Looking over your shoulder at an MVP, a former MVP. You're not
on your own bench. Yeah.
Yeah, there's you're always looking over your shoulder. There's always the next guy, but it's different when it's someone that has the gravitas that Cam Newton has.
But
you know, he has a following.
Yeah, is Cam Newton going to help out? And that's the end of the day.
I think that's a bigger
issue.
He's
going to be a team player. And I think that's a big thing to it. He's not going to try to be the number two quarterback to help out the guy as a starter.
I don't think that's true. I think he showed in the preseason that he was. And that by all accounts during the preseason, he was all about helping Mac Jones, all about being the best he can to help that guy get into the league and feel comfortable. That he was doing the best he could for it. That he was there was multiple accounts saying that he was there, you know, being a mentor to Mac Jones. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be, even if the guy is your friend, and you know, you're still going to feel uncomfortable because there's decision outside of those two people. And of course, Cam Newton wants to be a starter. You know, he's competitive. He wants to be a starter, but you're still going to have everyone else looking at you and the fans looking at you saying, like, if this Mac Jones kid doesn't play, he's going
to
get crucified, just like we see every year in Philadelphia when the fans go nuts. Anytime a quarterback messes up one time, then they're like, fire him, fire the staff, get new quarterbacks, draft 3 first-round picks. It's just the way it is in the league.
Okay.
So there is
okay.
pressure there, whether we like it or not.
Pressure there. But let me say something. I think that's why America is great. If we remove competition, everything falters. When we have the more competition that we have, the better things get. And it leads me to a question that comes out of the U.S. Open. Women's single of the U.S. Open is going to feature 2 teenagers for the first time in, gosh, since almost, 21 years, since 1999. Okay, Leah Fernandez, I got that one, and I followed her just a bit. They'll meet in a matchup, and they are both teenagers. It's the first time in the U.S. Open women's final singles since 1999, and I guess that leads me to a question. This new generation of sports figures, we've seen stories for I think the first time, at least in my memory, of people who have had to back down, couldn't handle the pressure. Oh my gosh, the press. I think competition breeds excellence. But is a younger generation equipped to deal with the pressure of competition, high-level sports, and constructive criticism?
Well, I think if you...
Depends on the individual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does completely depend on the individual, but I think it opens up a great market for sports psychologists.
of which I am not.
Yeah. But no, seriously, I think that it is one of those situations where the world is certainly changing. And this whole kind of movement, if you will, to remove barriers for kids. And there's a positive side to that, but there's also this huge downside in terms of exactly what you're saying, Michelle. People are not learning. There's no toughness to people anymore, and no sense of resiliency or sense of, you know what, I'm gonna fight for this. And,
so what is the upside of padding the cells of the next generation? I mean, and Josh, you're probably the youngest among us, and I know you didn't grow up necessarily padded.
I don't know. I don't think I'd necessarily say I'd see that in my peer groups, that people were especially padded. I don't know. Like my the people I grew up with, we still would, you know, our only rule was be back before the streetlights come on, which is in summer. That's like, you know, 1 a.m. So
you're that old, huh?
Oh, up in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something to be that we can watch, and it is something that we've addressed on this program. Is you know, handling the extreme pressure, and we can say, yeah, I understand, but you know, the world is not an easy place. Are we really, as sports is an analogy for life, are we equipped for being athletes in the game of life, to use a coined phrase from a fabulous book? Thank you very much.
I won't sue you for the trademark infringement on that one.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Quickly, as we wrap up talking about the NFL, anything that's standing out for week 1, guys?
I mean, how can you not be excited about the Seahawks team? New offense, you know, another year of DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, Russell Wilson, a defense that looks to be improved, an offensive line that looks to be improved. We have questions at cornerback, but, you know, honestly, other than cornerback, what holes do you see in the Seahawk roster? Where do you see a position where they're like, wow, they just have nothing there? Safety, they have maybe the best safety tandem in the league. They have, you know, one of the best linebackers in the league with a couple of young guys that look really good. They have a defensive line that look, you know, did really well at the tail half of last year with the addition of Carlos Dunlap, and they've added more pieces to that. You have on offense, your offensive line looks really solid now. I mean, maybe you wonder about Ethan Posick at center, but I think that he did well last year. As long as he stays healthy, he could do well this year. And all the other spots look good. Running back, wide receiver, obviously quarterback. Every position looks good on the Seahawks. Corner is the only question. So you still got to be excited about this team and what they can bring to the table.
I think there's a lot of stories out there.
Okay.
You know, going on this weekend. You have obviously the Las Vegas Raiders finally having people in their stadium. So that's going to be exciting, number one, as just something overall for a team in its second year in a new city, but really didn't have a chance last year. You have, what is Joe Burrow going to do up in Cincinnati? You know, he got hurt because he has no offensive line that first year, but he was a great quarterback in college. What can he do now kind of year two learning? And then, you know, we're starting for the first time without Drew Brees in 14 years.
Yeah.
So that's happening. What's going to go down in Houston with Deshaun Watson and that quarterback situation? How about that organization overall? Can they focus on playing, or is there so much crap from the outside that has filled their team and infiltrated their team? Can they even find a way out of the locker room? You know, so you got a lot of different things going on.
And Matt, what about the trade with the Texans for Brady Roby?
Get a defensive back. We're pretty thin at cornerback with our main guy, Marshawn Lattimore, still out on suspension. We've had some injuries to people, so we're pretty thin there. So it makes sense. You know, we gave up a couple future draft picks for somebody that can play now. We even signed Marcus Trufant. So, you know, hopefully he can give some decent snaps. So we have some questions also, but just interesting to see some of these different things playing out, you know, around the league in different teams.
So are you willing to lay down some money on your team this year?
Sure. I'm going to say we go, there's 17 games, right?
Yeah.
So that would say my math is going to do, I have to think about math now. It used to be 8-8 would be that. So it would be, I'll say, was that, no, 9-7 is still 16, isn't it?
Yes.
It'd be 10-7? Right, that's 17. See, 10, math 7. Is hard.
Make 17.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett.
That's why you have me on the show.
I do. I don't know anything about math. Anything above 15, and I lose it. So I'll say 10-7.
And the reason
I know is the Seahawks aren't going to go 0-9 to start the season. That'll be my prediction. Okay. Going against the NFL narrative.
You're going on a limb there, Josh.
Yeah, well, there was the prediction based on like a probability thing that someone does that's a national reporter that said they go 0-9. And I saw that. I was like, what numbers are you putting into your system?
Oh, that's right.
But what you're going 0-9 on the Seahawks. 0-9?
Yeah, we're pretty safe that that's probably not going to happen.
I know.
What's the wager? What's the wager?
I saw that. My gosh. Well, I'm asking this because a survey was done. 36% Americans, more Americans, expect to bet on the NFL this season compared to last year. So we have a nearly 40% increase on gaming. Is that because people, you know, have had a sense of frustration, or they're ready to get back in the game? I don't know. But
let's
for online gambling,
can we talk about this?
What's
we
that?
Talk about this? Didn't we talk about this? The stadiums that have sports betting at their stadium, does that start this year? So there you go, right? I think that's why that's, the percentage is up, because now it's accessible right there.
Yeah,
you can do it at the stadium.
You can do it right there at the stadium, and it's another avenue for income. Connecticut is ever closer to allowing online gambling in sports, so it's a big deal. I want to take on soccer. I watched the U.S. men's national team. Can I just say, our coach may have saved his bacon this week with the win, because they have had some disappointing outcomes. So I want to talk about that. Soccer is your game, Garrick. And so I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I was quite worried at halftime when we went down 1-0. And this was against Honduras, and they're not a perennial power in our CONCACAF region. And so when we went down, I mean we had a little bit more of the run of play in the beginning of the match, but that was a beautiful goal that they scored, and so credit to them. But I was a little bit concerned,
We've been having some problems finding the net, but what happened during halftime when we kept going, boom, goal, boom, goal, boom, goal. Christian Roldan comes on, and suddenly, you know, we're scoring goal, goal, goal. He didn't score them, but I don't know. He's a good luck charm.
We experienced that, I think, with him in the Gold Cup as well. And he does well coming off the bench. And I mean, he's fine starting too, but and we're a little bit biased here on Sports Timeout because of our Seattle connection with
some
with
of
Christian
us
Roldan, but he is he really makes a difference in there, just the way that he creates opportunities, the way that he is just on both sides, on the attack as well as defensively.
And that's nice that we pulled it off, Garrick, but man, we've really had kind of a slump, and yeah, there's been talk about, well, maybe we need to make some changes there. Are we on track or are we not to be a World Cup qualifying contender?
Time will tell. And one of the things that we've done with our team is that we have created a very deep bench, which is good and bad, mm-hmm. because it's good because you have that depth. And I think we talked about last week when we were missing Christian,
Pulisic.
What's his name? Pulisic. Thank you. How there were players who can kind of fill in. But then in terms of team chemistry and guys working together, this is always the challenge with the national team in terms of bringing a bunch of stars together and seeing how well they can adapt and work together with one another. I think time is still going to tell. And the good news is the World Cup is not happening right away. And so there's time for the
good
team
news.
To gel. And
you know what cup
and,
is?
I mean, provided that we get in.
You know what cup is happening right away? The League's Cup. And there is only one United States or Canada MLS team that is still in the matchup. And that's the Seattle Sounders, speaking of having a Seattle connection. So the Seattle Sounders next week are going to host Santos Laguna at their home stadium there in Seattle. So that's kind of exciting. Go Seattle Sounders for the League's Cup. Josh, how about giving us a little bit of an update on baseball, what's happening in the world of baseball, how things are shaping up as we go into the season leading to fall.
Well, first of all, there's no bats winding down right now. We're
no,
in the
not
last
yet.
20-some
not
games
yet.
Of the season.
But
so
no,
we are not winding
yet,
anything
getting
down.
There.
We're winding them up. We're going to the playoffs. Well, I'll tell you right now, in the American League, it's a close race.
It's exciting.
Right now, right now, you have Boston that is in the number one wildcard spot, one game ahead of the New York Yankees, who are in the second. A half game behind them are the Toronto Blue Jays. Two games behind them are both the Seattle Mariners and Oakland Athletics. So right there, you have five teams within three games of each other total between the top and the bottom that are all playing for those two wildcard spots. And Seattle Mariners, they have three games against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have not been good this year. They did put up a fight, but we managed to sweep them in the series. They have three games against them, and then the Red Sox come to town. And so there's a lot of these teams playing each other at the end of the season, which is what is making this really exciting in this wild.
It is. I'm going to give that to you. You're right. It is an exciting time of the season.
Yeah. Well, and look, I love football, but this year, right now, this is the year of baseball. We're kind of at a point right now where if there's a Seahawks game on and a Mariners game on, I'm probably recording the Seahawks game and watching the Mariners because they're super relevant right now. They're right in the thick of this battle. They're playing really well. You know, we've had a couple rookie mistakes, like the other day when we lost to the Astros. We had a couple mistakes from our guys that led us to a loss, unfortunately, in a close game where we could have. We were just a breath away from taking that series from the Stros. But they're playing well. Yeah. And we're seeing a passion from them. We're seeing a want-to from them. And Scott Servais, he needs to be manager of the year. Like, give him manager of the year. He deserves it. He's taken this team from nowhere. I know he's not going to get it because most of the baseball is centered in the Northeast. And so, you know, unless you're doing as well as, like, the Dodgers are, no one in baseball is going to even know who you are. The Mariners, who's that? What's that? Is that a future New York Yankee player that's up to bat, or a former New? That's happened before, by the way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When the Mariners they were in the hunt for a wild card spot a couple of years ago. Robinson Cano. There was a story that came out about them, and they said former Yankee player Robinson Cano, as if his career never continued on past his Yankee tenure. Now, a Mariner, that's not a team. We'll talk about his Yankee career.
That's funny.
For all those that are not American League homers out there, so I just pulled up the National League side.
Let's do it.
To give, because there are two leagues, Josh, in case you
yeah, that one's not nearly as interesting right now. The Dodgers are up by 13.
So the Dodgers
for the first
are
spot.
Up in that. But for the second wild card, you have the Padres, who have kind of gone from a worse to doing well. And the surprising Cincinnati Reds are only a game back. You know, the Reds have been bottom feeders for a long time, so they're only game back in the wild card on that side, which could prove interesting, finishing that out with the Cards 3 games back.
But, yeah, I mean, that could end up being a bit more of a battle, but, I mean, the fact that the Dodgers in the first spot are up by 13 games on anyone else, it's like, okay, well
that's just
we're fighting for one spot, and you have
how
two
good
people
the Giants
really
are doing.
It's like watching in a way, it's kind of like watching the NBA, you know, of the last few years, and it's like, oh, I wonder who's going to make the final, right? I mean, you know, oh,
yeah.
Surprise!
Well, yeah, it's like it to me right now, watching the National League, it's like watching. Like watching the Tom Brady Patriots League, where it's like they're the ones that are going to get through. Like, come on, where's the drama here?
The Giants are still. I am a Dodger fan, but the Giants are actually in the lead in the NL West. It's not even the Dodgers. So,
yeah, you have the. It's probably going to be the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres.
It's possible. So you got all three NL West, just like in with the wild card. You have the AL East teams are competing pretty well on that too, you know, with the Rays, and you got the Jays, the Yanks, and the Sox. So that's the whole NL East is right there for, I mean, AL East for the wild card.
And the AL West, the Mariners, the Athletics.
Mariners, right.
And Josh, Rose, you say that it's the time for baseball. Well, if, you know, it's getting close to the time for hockey. It's pretty exciting. If you are in, I know it had to be for Las Vegas when they got their team. Wow, this is great. For Seattle, if you understand that they have their new team, the Kraken, that Seattle is still reeling. You may not know if you're not from there. They're still reeling from the loss of their basketball team. Like it was yesterday. You know, that is still an open wound. Hockey was big in Seattle. In fact, look up who the very first winners of the Stanley Cup were back in 1917. Look it up. Seattle does have a hockey history, and we do have somewhat of a hockey culture here. Well, yesterday I was able to tour the practice facility for the Seattle Kraken. I even got to try a crack at some things on the ice. Now, this is said with a caveat. Yes, you're going to see Michelle falling on the ice, okay? But keep in mind, I'm wearing these sparkly cute little sandals, right? with the slipperiest bottom possible, but I'm still out there like a trooper, so don't laugh too hard. There I am. Take a watch, take a listen. Hey, I am Michelle Mendoza in the ever continuing. There you go. You're seeing some of the facilities. You walk through, you'll be able to get Starbucks coffee, woohoo. And that's looking down into one of the practice.
It's pretty amazing to see the transformation. Having grown up in this area, the Seattle Kraken are going to be our new hockey team for the NHL. This is their practice facility.
The goal is to stay this way, not this way on the ice. Think about hitting the goal.
So Josh, our resident Wookiee, this one's for you, where we're practicing a bit of curling. I'm going to give my hand at this. I think I'm going to be a little bit better than with the stick. We'll see how it goes.
One more time.
Yes,
I've never done it.
benefits, right? Yeah. Now I'm going to take you to the public skating area. I think just 3 years ago, I would be standing in the makeup at the makeup counter at Macy's. So right now, this is part of the Kraken practice facility. And this is where people get to come and do their skate and get their ice on. Well, sports fans, this has been the Kraken experience in their new practice facility. I think based on what you've seen, I'm not going to be quitting my job as a talk show host. Maybe the NHL isn't for me, but I will definitely be watching games. For any of you who have experienced a sports team coming back to your town and back in our case, it is so exciting to have the NHL, to have real, this kind of real level, next level hockey right here in our own backyard. So again, I say it never happened in my lifetime, but it is now. So go Kraken. Back home, and I think it's time for dinner, so I'm going to make some Kraken dogs.
Kraken dogs. So there you go, guys. That was, yeah. So there we go. I had to work with a little bit of the volume, but you got to see me on the ice, and you may have missed me barely standing up and at least making a goal. Sled hockey, that was excellent, but it's a lot of fun to get involved in your local sports teams and be able to, I don't know, just enjoy a game. We're getting back to that, albeit in some weird ways. We're getting back to it, so I'm looking forward to watching the Kraken. I don't know how great we're going to be the first year. I don't think we're going to see another replay of the Knights in their first year. So that's all I have to say, guys.
Well, that was very cool watching that video, Michelle, and seeing your curling experience. That was kind of fun. But
I think I did it. I know I fell, I'm thinking I want to join a curling league, you know, just maybe for beginners.
I do have to just comment, Michelle. As a someone who is so into sports as you are, I love the fact that I've seen some women sportscasters who have and sports reporters who have feel like they have to become one of the guys, right? And you're still comfortable being a lady and a woman, and still. You have this passion and this love for sports. And so I just want to commend you for being able to just be you and do a great job with it. So
women buy season passes, right? Women buy sports memorabilia. Women love to follow teams, but no, we don't have to do it like a guy. You know, I'm an avid fisher girl. I love fishing. And this year I was gifted pink waders. Yeah. Yeah. I have matching outfits because that's what I do. I fish like a girl. As we go into the last part of our show and we give our final shot, my final shot is to being a girl. There used to be that ad that said we need to ban the phrase like a girl. You run like a girl. You know what? Fine, I run like a girl. But there's a lot of women we just saw in the Olympics that ran like girls, and they were able to win some medals doing it. There's nothing wrong with doing something like a girl. So for you girls out there, love sports. You are welcome here, and love them the way you see fit. If you want to bling out your hats and your sports fit paraphernalia and you need to sparkle it up, then do it like a girl. But just know, you're always welcome here. It is time for us gentlemen to take our final shot. And yeah, my final shot goes out to girls in sports and girl sports fans. Josh?
You know, my shout out is going to be actually again to Matt Brash. Jerry DePoto said this week on another local sports show. He was talking about, you know, the people that are in their system, and Matt Brash might be getting a call up here in September to play out of the bullpen. If you don't remember, he is a starter that was moved from single A to double A this year and is actually doing even better in double A than he was in single A. So we might just see him this year. And I think that he's going to compete for a starting job next year. So I'm really excited to see what this kid can bring at the major league level. He's got electric stuff, man. He throws hard, really hard ball to hit. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, go Matt Brash. Happy for you.
Like it. All right, let's go to Matt.
I'm going to give my final shout out to Kyle Busch for just letting it fly in his interview, even though he got fined $50,000 for saying shit right there on national TV twice. And it was still pretty amazing for him to, you know, just passion. And the guy just let it all hang out and didn't care. And so I got to give him kudos for just being a human being on that one. So that's Kyle Busch is mine.
Okay. And Garrick Pang, bring it home. Pang us.
Get ready to get
special.
Hey, Reverend, you could have just said amen.
I love that. So I've got a special final shot shout out today. I'm not going to use his name just out of respect for his family, but I have a buddy of mine who I went to high school with, and he has brought me to several Sounders fans, huge, huge Sounders fan. Sorry, he's brought me to several games because he has season tickets. And he recently had a heart procedure, and then he last week just collapsed in his bathroom and hit his head. He's in a medically induced coma right now. And so we've been praying for him and just sending out our love to him. But this guy, he's a Seattle sports fan through and through, just huge-hearted guy. You know, he works with animals and, you know, just an amazing all-around guy. And so, buddy, my final shot goes to you, and we're just pulling for you and praying for you and wishing you all the best.
Before we go, this weekend will mark the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and a reminder that there are those who would stand against us because of what we stand for, and that is liberty, that is freedom, that is freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Some of those freedoms have been under fire. But that is exactly why America was under fire so many years ago, two decades ago, because we stand for freedom. After 9/11, we stood for the national anthem, and we stood together despite our differences with one mind saying these are the values that we are striving for. So I'm going to encourage people to stand and sing that national anthem this weekend, remembering where we came from, remembering what we stand for, and remembering who we are. And maybe, well, we'll get back there again. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us today for Sports Time Out. Thanks for helping us to look for a deeper meaning. We look for it every broadcast. Like us, share us, and go to mymichellelive.com. Thanks, guys.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.